Okay. Open your Bibles. First Kings, we go through book by chapter. We are in the book of Kings. We're looking at the life of Solomon in First Kings, who started off so good and is now starting to decline. How important it is for us not just start strong, but finish strong. Did you ever think about that, you guys? How many here have ever run a race? You know, like a running race. Raise your hand. Okay, how many did like a 5K or more? Keep your hands up. Okay, well, let me tell you something. Starting a 5K race, your pastor, is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I can start a 5K race with the best of them. But about halfway through, maybe about a third of the way through, maybe about a quarter of the way through, it starts getting a little bit more difficult. My muscles start to strain, my lungs start to collapse in on themselves, I've exhausted all the water in my body, and I'm gasping for air. And so, it's not just how well you start a race. When you give your life over to Jesus Christ, you start that race, don't you? Right? And some of us start that race super well. But is that all we need to do? Is that all that's important? Just the start of the race? Isn't it just as important how we finish that race? That's what we need to be concerned about. And we're going to see Solomon. Remember, his heart was so awesome. He's like, Lord, remember God visited him? He's like, God's like, what do you want, Solomon? Anything you want. And he's like, you know what, God, I just want to honor you. I just want to rule your people well. I just want to be a blessing to your heart. And God's like, wow, perfect. I appreciate that heart. Since that's your heart, I'm going to give you that and more. I'm going to bless you with wealth and prestige and wisdom. I'm going to give it all to you. To honor me because of that heart. And we're going to see that Solomon, who started off so well and the Lord didn't finish well. And I, for one, want you to finish well. Not just the start of the race in your Christian walk. I want you to finish well. And so God may have a message in here for each one of us as we're going through the scriptures, that we can see even a failure. When I look at Solomon's life, you know, everybody kind of points out all the good stuff, but when I see Solomon's life, honestly, I see what an abysmal failure he was. Here God blessed him with everything, didn't he? Right? And then he turned and dishonored the Lord and walked away from him. Very sad. Here God even spoke to him, showed up in person. Hello! And yet still, he turned away to other gods, to idols. So, as we read some of this, I think we're actually in 10. I said 11, but I think I meant 10. Solomon has built a temple to the Lord. He's been established the king. He's built his palace. He's established the kingdom. It's super duper prosperous right now because God has blessed him. God has blessed him with wisdom. God has blessed him with finances. God has blessed him with peace. So you can really develop a country if there's not war. He's blessed him with peace on all sides. He's just blessed him in every way. And the goal was so that God would be honored, right? So that little Israel on that little land bridge, right, would be like a missionary outpost to the world. But it didn't happen. In fact, Solomon, it said, let his heart be led astray. Adults, for you have walked with the Lord for a while, or even youth have walked with the Lord for a while, tell me, is this scripture true? Bad company corrupts good character.
Absolutely.
Is that true or false?
True.
Absolutely.
Those who have walked with the Lord will tell you that. And what happened, you'll see with Solomon, is he started strong. But then it says he started hanging around the wrong type of people, and maybe relationship-wise, you know, just a little compromise here. You know what I'm talking about. Not a big deal. I'm still for the Lord. Just a little compromise, a little bit more, and before you know it, he is way on the other side. And we don't want that to happen to us. So learn from his failure so that you can be a victor and not a victim. Amen? All right. So, I need my clicker. All right. So, give me a second. I'm going to scroll through my slides here. We're pretty casual. Thank you. It'll take me just a second to do that. Okay, so he built the temple. Pretty amazing thing. You guys know we went through all this for the Lord. Okay, I got to go through a lot of scriptures. So just talk. No, don't talk. Especially kids. I'll never get you to stop. Okay, let me just do this for a second. Sorry. Obviously, okay. Oh yeah, he dedicated the temple, raising his holy hands. Yes. We're almost there. I saw some of you guys lifting up your hands in the sanctuary. Love that. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Spurgeon, here we go. We're almost there. Okay, it says that in chapter 9 that he was fortifying, building up Israel. We took you to Hazor, Megiddo, Gezer. We showed you the ruins, that these places actually exist. You know, the Bible just comes off as true again. Now, nobody even knew any of these places for the last 1,000 years. And now they're digging them all up. People would say, oh, see, the Bible isn't true. It talks about Hazor and Israel. And there's no such thing. Now, we're digging it up. Here it is. We're talking about Megiddo. There it is. We're talking about, it's a gate. I've been there. It's amazing. These things actually exist. These places exist. All the Bible is true. Yes, Hezekiah Thundercat.
But it almost seems like the more that we get, you know,
archaeologically?
Yeah. The more people don't want to come to Christ. It's the weirdest thing.
Isn't that weird, guys? Isn't that true? The more the Bible is proved true, historically or archaeologically, or isn't it? We have more evidence now than we have ever had before, and people reject the authority of God's Word. Isn't that weird? Who do you think's behind that? You know it. He is always trying to undermine the Word of God. That's what he wants to do. But I show you these things because I want you to know. I have been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. These things are true. The Bible is true, and I want you to be firmly established in your faith. But it has to be more than here. It has to be in your heart. But I still want you to see them. You remember the horse troughs from Megiddo for his chariots and his horses? We saw that. We went through all that. There's Gezer. All right, we're almost there. Okay, so now we're in chapter 11 with the Queen of Sheba. And so here we're going to have the Queen of Sheba. Why don't we read, how about the first, how about the first two verses? Chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. I don't remember where we left off, so that's where we're going to start. Okay, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, if somebody wants to read it. Anybody? Okay. Hey, Debbie Jo, would you grab the mic, though? Thank you, baby.
Okay. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked to him about all that she had on her mind.
Okay, you can stop there for a second. So the Queen of Sheba, now this is actually, she actually existed. It's historically true. She's coming from this area. She was a very rich queen of now modern-day Yemen and Ethiopia. This was her kind of her kingdom down here, very rich kingdom back then in the spice trade and all that. This is little Israel. So she travels, okay, from this area. She's heard about his wisdom. She's heard about this godly wisdom and this God of his. And she's a queen, or an affluent queen of a kingdom. She's used to people coming to her, but yet she says, I want to find out more. If the things I'm hearing about this guy and his God are true. And so she travels 1,500 miles, okay, with the caravan in the hot sun, Saudi Arabia. You think that was a joyride? There's no Uber. Take her there. You know, they're going by camel in the hot sun. So she's traveling all this way just to see. And so to there, to Israel, right there, that little tiny land bridge right there. And it says, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon, and not just Solomon, and his relation to the name of the Lord. And that's one thing that we talked about last week a little bit. The week before. We showed that video about how we're made, how we're God's poem. Remember that? How we're his workmanship. And we watched that thing and everybody was like, wow, blown away by that. It's so true. So when people see us, God wants you to reflect his image to other people. You know what I'm saying? I used to think, if people saw me, you know, and heard me, and talked to me, I could really change people. You know, because I got a lot of gifts and abilities, I thought. And then the Lord, when I came to know the Lord, I realized, I don't know nothing when it comes to God, apart from him. And I need to learn, and I need more of him and me. I need less of me and more of him. I need to be emptied of myself and filled with him. John the Baptist said something. You know, he said, when the disciples started all following Jesus, you remember John the B, right? John the B, you remember he baptized Jesus? You know, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's like, I shouldn't even baptize you. I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals. He's like, it's okay, just go ahead and do it. And the light came when he was being baptized, when Jesus was being baptized as my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. And some of John the Baptist's disciples, they all started going over to follow Jesus. And somebody said, John the Bee, John the Bee. He's like, everybody's starting to follow Jesus instead of you. Do you remember what he said? He said something really profound. What did he say? Do you remember? He says, yes, he said he was preparing the way. He did say that. That's good. What else did he say? Yes?
He said he wasn't there to make his own disciples. He was there to make his own disciples. He was there to prepare for Jesus.
Yes, that was the concept. Good. But what did he say specifically?
I must decrease and he must increase.
Yes. He said, I've got to decrease. And can I tell you, if you want Jesus to really shine through you, you have to get out of the way. You have to move over and let Jesus take over. Hey, maybe I'll patent that. You need to move over and let Jesus take over. We must decrease and he has to increase. So she's coming not only to hear about him, she wants to hear about his God. And it says that in his relationship with the Lord, and that's what we also have to remember, is for those of you who've walked with the Lord, is it just about knowing the commandments? Is it just about knowing the rules? What is a real walk with Jesus about? What? With what?
Relationship.
With a relationship. What does that mean? Can you just tell me, what does a relationship with Jesus mean? There are people right here that don't really understand what that means. What does having a relationship with Jesus mean?
You can just be open with the Lord.
Spending time with him, talking, hearing from the Lord. You're saying that we can hear from the Lord?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
But not just treat him like you're his best friend or somebody, giving him time to speak, actually listen to what he says.
Absolutely, yes, give him time to speak, actually listen to what he says. That's a relationship with Jesus.
And obeying what he says.
That's right. Jesus says, he who loves me will obey me. That's pretty clear to me. And so it says she came to test him with a very hard question. Now, in those days, if you were a king or a queen, what they would do is they'd kind of see how really smart or wise you were, and they would go to your kingdom, and they would say, They'd have all these great questions just to see if we were really very smart. And so it was kind of like these things that these nobles did with one another. And so here she went with all these questions to kind of stump him, see if he was really as wise as he said. And it says that she plied him with all those very hard questions. And it's going to say in a minute that he answered it. And she arrived with a great caravan carrying spices. Now, does that sound like a big deal to you, spices?
Back then, it was like gold.
Yes. I think spices, salt, pepper, paprika,
oils.
What did you do? Was it?
Oils.
Imported oils. That's yes. Now, I think, what do you do? I can buy that anywhere. Right? What? I can. But they couldn't. That's right. So spices was like gold or like diamonds back then. Okay? And flavoring food and stuff like that. I'm a foodie. Is anybody else here a foodie? Okay. Not a fast foodie. No. Although I did eat fries. It tastes terrible. But I like food. I like the taste of food. Okay? I don't just eat to keep me... I enjoy food, as you can probably tell. People are looking at my belly. But anyway, maybe I like food too much. But these spices, man, would spice up everything. And it says she brought large quantities of gold, precious stones. That's rubies and emeralds and things like that. And she came to Solomon and talked about with everything she had in her mind. And this is the cool thing. And here we go. We even have it in Lego form for you. The caravan. We spare no expense here for you. That is the Lego version of the Queen of Sheba arriving in Israel. I'll do this for a second. Chris, it says real quickly, it says in verse 3 of chapter 10, it says this. Sorry, give me one second. It says, Solomon answered how many of her questions? Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. Now, this is no dummy. And yet he's answering all her questions. Now, why was he so smart again for the people who aren't here? Why was Solomon so wise? God gave him that wisdom. That's right. Now, that is super important. This is Psalm 119, 97 to 102. Because this is super duper important. Because the Bible says there's two types of wisdoms. Did you know that? There's a worldly wisdom, and then there's God's wisdom. And I've watched a lot of people who could be worldly wise. You know what I mean? They can give you advice. But the advice is how to win in the world's way, but not in God's way. And God says, I want you to have my wisdom. Right now, the Bible's wisdom, if you tell anybody, I'm trying to get the biblical wisdom... If they don't know the Lord, they look at you like, duh, what are you doing reading the Bible for? Why don't you read a real book or something? You know what I mean? But yet, the Bible says, God says it's all God-breathed, and it's useful for training and equipping us. Uncle Tom is going through the armor of God. You know, going through the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. Psalm 119, 97, 102. Says this. You know, I think, how do we get wisdom from God? One is, what, we ask him for it? Right? James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, all you have to do is ask for it, and he'll give it to you. But there's another kind of wisdom that comes from his word. And it's almost like, have you guys ever been to a mine? Not mine. Like, a mine? You know, like a pickaxe? Anybody ever been to a mine? Have you? What kind of a mine did you go to? Do you remember? Okay. Well, it's almost like when it's the Word of God, there's some work that's involved. You went to a diamond mine, if somebody gave you a diamond mine, okay, Rebecca? Congratulations, you just inherited a diamond mine. Woo-hoo! You wouldn't be able to just go in there, chances are, and grab a diamond from the wall.
Nope.
They'd be there. What would you have to do?
Pick it up.
You'd have to wouldn't you? Well, God is, it's the same way. God is saying, listen, folks, I know you're busy, but I've got all these precious gems for you in my word. But you, son, are going to have to take the time to read the word for yourself. You mean put the video game away? What? Wait. We have to turn the TV off for a minute? If you want to get some of those precious gems, you're going to have to mine it. But the cool thing is, if you go in searching for the Lord and searching for His Word to get that wisdom, and you start mining, and you're taking that pickaxe, and you're mining it, trip over your foot one more time. All right. And you're mining it. If you're mining it, it becomes mine. If I'm saying, Lord, when I sit down with the Word, I want you to try this. Every time you sit down with the Word, you pray and you ask the Lord. You say, Lord, will you speak to me personally? Will you teach me? Because I want to be wise in you. And if you'll do that, when God reveals stuff to you, it's yours. So if you mine it, if I mine it, it's mine. He says in the psalm, he starts off, this is a psalmist. He says, oh, how I love your law. Or I love your word. I meditate on it all day long. What does that mean, I meditate on it? Is he going, shakalaka, mukalaka? What does that mean, I meditate on it? Thinking about it? Good. What?
You pray.
Okay. Pray, yeah. Good. What else? It's on your mind all the time. Remembering it? Good. What else? Thinking of live it? Thinking about it? Yeah. He's like, man, I meditate it all day long. Here, hit the lights for a second. We're going to go, as I put my stuff down, my little ADD self. There's a clicker around here. Oh, there it is. Go to Psalm 1, verses 103. I love this picture. I found this picture, and I put that little psalm verse on there. And I want us to read that. Psalm 1, verses 103. It's nice and easy to find. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, pick me. Okay, you sure you want to do it?
Can I make an excellent
I'll tell you what. Why don't you each read a verse? You read verse 1, you can read verse 2, you can read verse 3.
Okay.
Let me get there myself. Give me just a second. Give me a second. All right. Okay. So everybody in Psalm 1. Okay, go ahead. You read verse 1. Oh, do you have the mic, Josh?
No.
Okay, hey, where is that mic? Oh, good, Joe, thanks so much. On your game. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the world's going to counsel you on ways to do things. Are you going to listen to the world, or are you going to listen to God? That's your choice. You can do whatever you want. But God's saying, I want you to listen to my counsel. Don't sit in the counsel of the wicked. Okay? Go ahead. The next verse is verse 2. Instead of walking in the counsel of wicked men and listening to worldly counsel, this is what God says in verse 2. Go ahead. You ready, son?
But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Oh, wait, just one second. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Think about this. Ask yourself this question. How do you look at the Word of God? Think about this. He's saying, I delight in the Word. Some people approach the Word of God like it's shredded wheat. Have you ever had shredded wheat cereal? It's like eating sawdust. There's probably some nourishment. Is there nourishment in there? But it is so dry. You know what I'm saying? It's like some people approach the Word of God like it's that. Some people approach the Word of God like it's castor oil or something like that. I don't know if you've ever, who has ever actually had castor oil before? Okay, a couple of you. Yeah, okay, yeah, more than I thought. Okay, that's the nastiest stuff I've ever made. Okay, maybe it's got, you know what? It might be healthy for you, or some medicine. You know, it might be healthy.
But I don't want to take it. I'll take it because I have to. But,
hold your nose and get
good. Yes. But there are some people who have learned by experience to take the Word of God and to hold on to it and to treasure it and to live it and to obey it. And for them, the Word of God isn't shredded wheat that I have to eat. It's not medicine that I know is good for me, so I'm going to take it. It is like a banana split with nourishment, with hot fudge sundae, but filled with vitamins. Doesn't that sound good? That's the Word of God. And when you eat it, when your soul eats that, okay, banana split doesn't have any nourishment in it, but let's pretend that it did. It had all your vitamins. That's what the Word of God nourishes your heart and soul. Okay? He delights in it. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
And on his law, he meditates day and night.
That's right. He's always thinking about it. And because he delights in the Word, and he's getting it in his heart, not just in his head, right? Not just in his melon, because then you'll just be a puffed up know-it-all. You'll be a prideful little, you know what?
Brat.
But if it's in your heart, you're going to end up being a delight to others. And it says this in verse 3, and hence this picture. That's your cue.
He is a tree planted by stems of water.
By stems of water?
Stems of water.
Streams.
Of water, which yields its fruit in season.
Good.
And whose leaves does not wither, whatever he does prosper.
Right. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. Those roots are going down deep. It's sucking in that water. And it's going to yield fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. That's what it's like. It says, your commandments, listen, I love your word, and meditate on it day and night. Your commandments are always with me, because they make me, listen to this, guys, God makes me wiser than my enemies. Listen, you can go to a lot of places for wisdom. You can go to your friends. You can go to your team. Whatever. You go to the Word of God. You go to the Lord. You only go to your friend for counsel if they're bringing you godly counsel. If they're taking you to the Word, then you listen to that. Listen. This is what God says in Colossians. It says, in Christ are hidden how many of the treasures? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So don't be led astray or let people delude you with plausible arguments or take you captive by philosophy or empty deceit or according to human tradition and not according to Christ. So in him are you going to find all the wisdom?
Yes.
Oops, sorry. Go back one. It says, I have more insight because of the Word of God, because of God's wisdom. I have more insight than all my teachers. Hey, you want to be smarter than your teachers?
Yeah.
You will be if you get that Word of God in your heart. Can I tell you something in all truthfulness? There are times when your pastor is corrected by his children. What? But you're the pastor. But you know what? It's true. Because some of my boys have been getting that word in them. And they'll come to me, not in a jerky way. Well, once in a while they will. But no, most of the time they're doing it in a humble way. So, and they'll say, you know, Dad, I don't know if that was the right attitude that you have. Because, you know, God says, you know, be angry and sin not. I think you were sinning. Now, whose wisdom is that? God's. And I have to humble myself and say, you know what? He's right. you will be wiser than your teachers. You'll have more insight because of the Word of God than people around you. You will. It says in this, it says Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it, and get wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. In other words, grab that in your heart and don't ever let it go. Yes?
But you could still share it with others.
Absolutely. But in other words, yes, of course, share it with others. But in other words, don't let that truth depart from your heart. Guard it, because it's the wellspring of your life. It goes on and it says, I have more understanding than the elders. Hey, you want more understanding than your pastors and your elders in the church? Same thing, it's the Word of God. For I obey your precepts. Listen, it's not just knowing it here, it's obeying it. That's going to be, when you find out that God's Word, when you trust Him, and you step out in faith, and He comes through for you, man, you're going to find out that He's true, and it's right. You're going to have a deeper faith and understanding than most people. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than even gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. And Proverbs 2:6 says this, for the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So it's from Him that all this wisdom is coming from. Okay? This is not just a book of catchy little sayings. This is God inspired for you to teach you and to train you in righteousness. All right, we're back to the Lego. All right, sorry. All right, back to 1 Kings. So He's able to answer because the wisdom God gave us. And so how much more you, if you're a Christian, you have the Word of God. He didn't have the whole New Testament. You know? You have the Holy Spirit living in you to teach you all things. That's what God says. All right, verse 4. Who would read that? Where's the mic? Pass it around. All right, one of you guys, or one of you girls can read it. Read verse maybe 4 and 5, some of you girls, if you can. If you're not scared. Huh? Okay. You can do it.
And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built.
Keep going.
And the meat of his table and the city of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers,
yes,
and assistant by which he went up onto the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her.
Okay. Now what that means, what that's saying, no more spirit in her, that's a King James-y way, Old English saying that she was overwhelmed, she was blown away. She's seeing how he serves this God, the food on his table, he says, the cups that he has, the palace that he built, all that's the wisdom that he has, she is just blown away. She is speechless when she sees what God has done. And you know what, can I be honest? If you really give your heart over the Lord, over time, people will be blown away of what God has done in your life. I had some friends visit on Sunday, a couple from Lynchburg, Virginia, and they heard me teach, you know, 15, 20 years ago or something like that. I was doing a Christian, interdenominational Christian singles group. And let's just say I wasn't very good yet. Not that I'm good now, right? You're not good now. But anyway, and so they came and they said, your church was just so awesome. I just felt the Spirit move and worship and the fellowship was so awesome, and you're teaching. Man, it's so good. You've gotten so good. And it's just, they were blown away. But that's just the Lord working. People who've seen you 10, 20 years ago, Kelly, they wouldn't recognize you now. The way you think, the way you act, the way you do things. And that would be true of you too. And so she's blown away, and she's overwhelmed. It goes on to say, She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I didn't believe these things until I came and saw it with my own eyes. Indeed, not even the half of it was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you've far exceeded the report I heard." You know what? That's what I want people to see in me. I want them to see Jesus in me. I want them to see Jesus in you. And it goes on to say, how happy your people must be, how happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. That's what everybody says here every Sunday morning. No, they don't say that at all. Any wisdom I have anyway is from the Lord, in all seriousness. And we talked about this. He's got vast wealth, horses and stalls and gold and shields. It is absolutely unbelievable how much money he has, from fleets bringing in baboons and ivory and silver and gold. Every article in his whole house. You know he has silverware? Well, all his silverware is gold. All his cups. It's not like, "Hey, Mom, can I have a little cup of water that I spit in after you brush your teeth and you get some water and you have that little cup that kind of sits there all crusty for like 8 years and you never change it?" Anyway, theirs is made of, another gold cup. Okay, Mom. You know what I mean? Everything is gold. Yes?
The problem is that he thought he was just so much in this gold that he thought everybody had gold and cushions at home, but it was just different.
Yes. Yeah. All right, yeah. Let's go on. 6-8. All right, verse 9 and 10 says this. And I love this. In verse 9 it says in my Bible, "Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." This is a person who doesn't believe in the Lord. She's saying, "Man, I'm so blown away by this Jesus and how you live and what he's done in your life. I'm blown away by your God." And in verse 10, it says that she gave the king 120 talents of gold. And basically, that's about 4 tons of gold. So that's about $250,000 in our standard. And large quantities of spices, it says, and precious stones. That never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba brought to King Solomon. And then he has a fleet of ships that went out, brought gold, and they brought special wood back and precious stones. And verse 12 says, "The king used this special wood to make supports for the temple of the Lord in his royal palace, to make harps and lyres for musicians. So much alum wood has never been imported or seen since that day." And then verse 13, "King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all that she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned to her own country." Now this is an interesting thing in Chronicles. It says this, and I love this. This is in 2 Chronicles 9:12. It's a parallel telling the same story. It adds this one verse. It says, "King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for when she was leaving, and he gave her more than she had brought to him. Then she left and returned with her servants to her own country." Can I tell you something, Christian? You have been given something that is so very precious. You have been given Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You've been given a gift most people don't have. You've been given riches far beyond gold, far beyond prestige and power. You've been given the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be right with you all the time. You've been given His precious word, and you can read it anytime you want. There are folks around the world who would just, cut off a pinky. They could just have a chapter of the Bible to read and could be encouraged with. But it says that He gave her more. She brought all this stuff and He gave more when she left. How about this? How about every time somebody comes into this church or this school or you're into this life, into your life, you give them more than what they came in. They start talking to you and introduce you. How about your heart is to bless them in some way? How about you look at them and say, "God, And I'm not talking just financially. I'm talking, maybe it's a listening ear. Maybe it's praying for them. Maybe it's a gift that will encourage them in the Lord. Maybe it's blessing them with some encouraging words. How about you look at them and say, how can I bless you? How can I encourage you? How can I build you up? I want to give you more than what you're coming to me with. What if that was our heart as a Christian? God, would you give me some way? How about if you just said tomorrow when you come to school or when you go to work or when you come to church on Sunday, Lord, will you show me some way that I can pour out you to someone else? Maybe it's giving a ride to somebody. Maybe it's just being a servant in some way. Whatever it is, you give them more of Christ. Whatever they come to you, whoever God puts in your life, you give them more.
I would not want to go down that road.
I know. How about it? That's a real road. I'm trying to remember where that's at. I knew a few weeks ago. Pennsylvania. I think you're right.
By accidents.
Did it say Pennsylvania?
No.
666. That's west.
Yeah.
Steve and I have been on that route.
You have?
666 is what they call it.
Yes.
And they actually changed the name of it. We just found out. They just changed the name of it recently.
Really?
Something. Somewhere out west.
You know what? I'm going to change the name too.
Repent.
Yeah. But it says this, guys. It says this in verse 11. Look at your Bibles. It says the weight of the gold that Solomon received yearly was 666 talents of gold. Do you know how much gold? Every year. Do you know how much gold that is? 25 tons of gold. Do you know how much that is? That's over $1 billion. Now think about that all those years ago. Every year, just from that, $1 billion. This is how much God blessed him. $1 billion smackaroonies. Well, that's a good question. We'll find out that in a minute. And I don't know if this means anything because, you know, maybe some numerology expert could tell me, but the fact that it's 666 talents, that's, for those of you who don't know, it's only found three times in the Bible. Here in Kings, in Ezra 2:13, when people were coming back from Babylon, and in Revelation 3:16-18. And that, my friends, is where it says that he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given the mark of the beast on the right hand or the forehead, 666. So I don't know if this gold that he's getting in represents anything or not. But I do know that God said you're not supposed to multiply as a king. You're not supposed to have tons of gold. He told them that. God's people told them that. And he did it anyway. And to me, he's selling out. You can't serve God and money. All these prosperity teachers, God just wants everybody wealthy. Hallelujah, praise God. Why are they always asking for money all the time? Why are you having 2, 3, 4 offerings? Why is that? If God provides anything, why do you need to ask me 5 times for an offering every Sunday morning? Doesn't that seem weird? So I don't know if that is anything, but it's something to think about. Go back. It says that money, $1.2 billion in verse 15, that does not even include the revenues from merchants and traders that he's got going all over the world and the Arabian kings and the governors of the land. That's a whole nother, I don't even know how much money. Verse 16 says that King Solomon had so much money that he made 200 large shields of hammered gold. Solid gold. That's like each one of those is pounds of gold, about 7 or 8 pounds of gold. And 600 bekas of gold went into each shield. It's about 7 or 8 pounds. It says he also made 300 small shields of hammered gold. And it said that the king put them in his palace in the forest of Lebanon. So he's decorating his palace with all this gold. And then look at verse 18. It says the king made a great throne inlaid of ivory and then overlaid with fine gold. Ivory is like one of the most precious things back then. but he overlaid it with gold. So he's making this fancy place just to sit his butt on it, made of ivory and of gold. You think he's getting a little full of himself?
Yeah, definitely.
Why does he need this huge throne? He doesn't, does he? Why does the palace, if you look back, listen, if you look back, when he made the temple for the Lord, look how big it is. It took 7 years to build the temple, and it took almost double to build his palace. And it's about twice as big. His palace is bigger than the Lord's temple. Just saying. I think his heart's starting to go the wrong direction.
Dad, but didn't the Lord want the palace, the temple to be smaller?
He did give specific instructions for the temple to be built, is what he did. Now, he didn't say how to build his palace.
Okay.
Solomon said, oh, I think I'll have an ivory palace throne. I mean, it was magnificent.
Okay.
I mean, it goes on to say, it says that he overlaid the steps. Okay, the king made the great throne laid with ivory and overlaid it with fine gold. Verse 19 and 20 says this, the throne had six steps, and its back had a rounded top. On both sides of the seat were armrests, with a lion standing beside each of them. 12 lions stood on the six steps, one at each end of the step. Nothing like it had ever been made for any other kingdom. It's hard to see. That's a Lego version, obviously. Okay? But if you can hit the lights for just a second. You know, I showed this beginning one last time. I mean, that was probably what it was like. Each one of those lions probably represented the one of the 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, it was a magnificent spectacle. Okay? Now, it goes on to say this. Now, I'll put it back real quick. It goes on to say this, that all kings, in verse 21, all King Solomon's goblets were gold. And all the household articles in the palace of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. So if you were like, hey, can I have a toothpick? Here's our golden toothpick. Hey, can I have a knife? Oh yeah, here you go, solid gold. Everything was solid gold. Yes?
And he could have just put all that money to be done in the temple and then more glory.
Absolutely. He could have given it to the people. He could have, whatever. But I think he's getting a little stuck on himself. And it says this. It says that nothing was made of silver. Because listen to this. Silver was considered of little value in Solomon's days. Some of your Bibles actually say it was like rocks in those days. It says the king had a fleet of trading ships in verse 22. At sea, along with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years a return carrying gold, silver, ivory, apes and baboons. Well, if you got everything else, how about bringing some apes and baboons along board? Right, you know? It says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than any of the other kings of the earth, and the whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift. Articles of silver and gold, robes, weapons, and spices. And Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots or charioteers and 12,000 horses. Uh-oh, that's a no-no for those of you who know the Bible. Which he kept in chariot cities. You guys saw some of the troughs for them. And also with him in Jerusalem. The king, oh, here we go. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones. And cedar as plentiful as sycamore fig trees in the foothills. And Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from the Cue. The royal merchants purchased them from Cue. They imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. They also exported them to the kings and the Hittites and the Arameans. We're not going to have time to get into 11, but he's going to have a bunch of wives too. You know how many wives he had?
11.
Even more than 11. 24. Even more than 24.
92.
Nehemiah, how many wives?
700
wives. When I was young, I thought having a lot of wives would be like that. Now that I had a wife, I think one's good. I'm happy. And you know what? Do you think, let me ask you a question. Do you think Solomon really loved those 700 wives?
Well, I had him close to a couple of them.
You know what? I can tell you one thing. It would be impossible as a godly man to really love 700 wives. And on top of that, he had 300 concubines, which is a way of saying that he had other women for different sexual purposes. So, obviously, his mind and his heart were going astray. And as we read here, just in a few verses in 11, you know what it's going to say? It's going to say that these ladies, all these foreign women, he started leading his heart astray. And he started even worship other gods. And I'll even...
their gods.
Yeah. But Deuteronomy 17, now we don't have time to get into this, we're already going over. Actually, can we just close with this one thing? Can we go to Deuteronomy 17, 14, 20? Give me two more minutes, guys. Chapter 17, 14 to 20. Okay? Somebody read that for me. Who has the mic?
Oh, I've got it.
Would you mind reading that?
Nope.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 17. This is where God was telling his people, hey, when you get your own land, when I give you the land I'm promising you, and you get a king, okay, I don't want you to be all about money. I don't want you to be all about trusting in the world's system or the world's goods. I want you to be about trusting me. For everything, for your finances, for your protection, for your provision. I want you to trust me personally. I want that relationship with you. What does it say? And you can see where Solomon's going way off course. What does it say in Deuteronomy chapter 17, 14 to 20?
When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations around us. Be sure to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your own brothers. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not a brother Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself.
Is he doing that?
Yep.
Sure is.
Or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them.
Is he going to Egypt to get more of them?
Yeah.
He's completely disobeying the Lord. And look how God blessed him. You know what? Debbie Jo said those people were really stupid back then. Don't you agree? But can I tell you something?
We're the same way.
We're the same way. God has blessed you in more ways. Definitely, you probably shouldn't even be alive right now. Some of you, like me, shouldn't even be alive right now. Some of us have made so much, but yet God has brought us back. He has blessed us more than we could ever imagine. And think about this, son. God, the King of the universe, is reaching out to you saying, I want you to follow me. Are you accepting him or rejecting him? Are you seeking the Lord or are you putting him aside? It's something to think about. What else does he say? Those last verses.
For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives or his heart will be led astray.
How many wives did he take again?
700.
Hello? Listen, if you're in a relationship here, I just want to say make sure that person is following the Lord and not giving lip service, male or female. You make sure that they love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked because they're going to lead you astray. The most miserable people I've ever met in my entire life is when one person in the relationship is loving the Lord and following the Lord and the other person is not. I'm telling you this. That's the truth. Yes, me and Mike.
God did say to have no chariots.
Yes, no horses and going down to Egypt. Yeah, because Egypt represents the world. Yes, go ahead.
He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold.
Oh,
on an old heart, yes.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests, who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God, and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left.
Yes.
Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel.
Yes. Unfortunately, you've watched Solomon do this. He's turned into the right or to the left. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He was supposed to be reading the word every day so it would be getting in his mind, his heart. The world is filling your mind with poop. With junk. With the garbanzola. And God is saying, listen, I don't want you to be a fool. I want you to renew your mind with this word. Are you going to do it? Not because your mom says you have to read it. Are you going to take and read the word? Are you? What if nobody's going to tell you to do it? You have to mind that. This is the last thing. It says, you know, Solomon was led astray. He was trusted in his armies. He was trusted in his riches. He was trusted in his wives. And all that's going to be gone in a couple decades. He's going to lose the whole kingdom. It's all going away. And this is, I'll just leave us with this. Matthew 6, 28, 29 says, why worry about your clothing? Why worry about all this stuff? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. God's going to take care of all your needs, the clothes on your back, the bills that you have. He's going to take care of the heartache that you have, that he's trying to repair in you even now. He's going to take care of all these things. You just trust him. Don't trust your checkbook. Don't trust whatever you're putting your trust in, whatever that little idol is for you. Tear it down. Trust in the Lord. Don't be like Solomon, who was led astray and started off fantastic and finished in the dumps. Start and maintain strong. And if you're running out of steam, you cry out to the Lord and you say, God, will you fill me? Will you help me? Would you renew my strength, Lord? Would you refresh me with your word, with your spirit? And you keep going. And you never stop. And you finish strong. That's what he wants us to do. All right, let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your word that is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray that you would just take one thing, Lord, just like all those gems that the Queen of Sheba brought to King Solomon, that you would just give one of those, Lord, just from your word back, Lord, that to take and put in a backpack, to put in someone's heart here, Lord, one of the things said today that you would instill in someone's heart and mind today, Lord God, that they would take with them for the rest of their life, Lord God, that you would give them and pour into them more as they come here to hear your word or to hang out. You would give them more than what they came with, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Encourage them, strengthen them, renew them, and revive their hearts, Lord God. Revive all of our hearts. We need you, Lord. We need your wisdom. We need your power. We need your grace. We love you and we thank you for the examples that we have in your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, Lord. Bless your people tonight as they go. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen. And again I say,
amen.
Amen, amen, you guys. Have a great night.